The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Hello there. Thanks for choosing the weekly podcast from Radio Today. My name is Stuart Clarkson. In for Trevor Dan this week. He's off sunning himself somewhere warm. So you've got me looking after it for the next couple of weeks. And we've got all the usual stuff. We've got the news coming up with a guest newsreader. We'll also check in with the latest David Lloyd radio moments, one of my highlights of the podcast every week. But we start this week with the big story, which is another radio station saying it's going to close down and hand back its license to Ofcom. This is Star Radio Northeast, which is based in Darlington. It's a weird kind of license. It's actually 3.5, maybe 4 old licenses. What was Alpha 103.2 in Darlington, Durham FM, Minster North Allerton, and also a bit of the old Fresh Radio license covering Richmond and Catterick, and a bit of the old Minster license covering Thirsk. So let's find out what's behind the decision. And I've been talking to the UKRD CEO, William Rogers.
Yeah, first of all, sad decision, and obviously disappointed to have had to take the decision. But unfortunately, the station has sort of struggled with commercial viability for a number of years. And I think we've got to the stage where we had to take the decision to ensure that we focus on our radio stations with investment and resource elsewhere. And it's a sad day because obviously, you know, a lot of people at Star have worked very hard to try and make this work, and they deserve thanks and appreciation for that. But unfortunately, sometimes these decisions have to be taken. So what we are proposing to do is to return some of those licenses to Ofcom. We are presently requesting the opportunity to transfer one of the smaller licenses that make up that station to be operated by Minster FM, the station out of York, and that's the North Allerton area.
Because that used to, part of that originally was Minster, wasn't it? One of the FM transmitters in Thirsk.
You're spot on, and North Allerton actually is in North Yorkshire. In fact, all of the county services, fire and rescue and county hall, is actually at North Allerton. So it makes sense for that. And we're hopeful that Ofcom will grant us consent to do that, and we should hear shortly. So hopefully we'll be able to salvage some of that, and hopefully Minster will have that opportunity. But that's clearly a matter for Ofcom, and we will await their response, hopefully, fairly shortly.
What's the root cause here? Some of the licenses, as I say, you kind of put a few together because they were quite small licenses, the North Allerton one in particular. I know you've got a Richmond transmitter that was originally part of the Fresh Dales license. You've had a station in Durham, which was one of the later ones to be licensed. These small stations were never going to make any money, but why hasn't it worked putting them all together and making a kind of a mishmash of 3 or 4 licenses?
I think actually it's possible, and it's really difficult to say, because sometimes it got close to the line and you go, actually, you know, it's going to make it, everything looks okay, and you know, the audience is up and down, and it's whatever else we do, we do work really hard to run local radio, so it's not something that with a reasonably fair wind, we shouldn't be able to do. It may well simply be that because we've tried to make something work across quite a number of different licenses in a number of different locations, that actually the mishmash, which I think you describe this sort of construction as being, may in fact be the problem. And I think the one thing that, if you look around the rest of our portfolio, where you have licenses that serve distinctly focused communities that are of a reasonable enough size to give it economic viability and a significant enough level of audience to build a platform for advertisers, it may be that actually we were trying to bite off too many different bits to chew at the same time. And it's quite conceivable that we try to create a radio station from too many small local licenses that ultimately didn't deliver the kind of intensely localized approach to radio that UKRD is well known for delivering. And ironically, it may well have been the patching together of these licenses, which all individually would have clearly struggled to work, that could have been its Achilles heel, because it's very difficult to understand another reason as to why that might have been.
Yeah, I mean your opposition certainly in Darlington from Bower kind of moved out of town, and what Bower did with TFM was to merge it with Metro within that region. I guess you could have done the same with added Sun FM and made it one northeast station, but then your USP, as you say, as a local radio operator, wouldn't have made the fit with that.
Yeah, and we're very determined to make sure that as far as our local radio stations are concerned, that's what they truly are. It's why we refer to them as being proper local radio stations. You know, we want them to be anchored in their community. We want them to employ local people. We want them to be involved in the organizations. We want them to exclusively broadcast to those local communities. And Sun FM, which is a tremendously successful radio station, huge audience numbers, frequently, and more quarters than not, the number one commercial station in its market. It's because it is Sunderland. You know, it's injected with the city of Sunderland in its veins, and we're not about to dilute that. And I think had we taken that decision, there is a distinct possibility that, ironically, we could have done damage to Sun FM by making it something that it isn't, because Sun FM's built its reputation on being all about the city of Sunderland, and it does it tremendously well. So the more you dilute that proposition, the less opportunity there is for people who want proper local radio to tune in and listen to it. And so I think that was never really a prospect. You know, as far as local radio is concerned, we believe in that local radio. That's what we deliver. And where we deliver it well, and where the community is distinctive, and clearly our people on the ground, you know, get behind that and work incredibly hard to deliver it, then actually it's done really well. And I think merging those two together to create something bigger, could actually have diminished Sun FM's opportunity to maintain its number one position in its market.
And where we're at, you've said you're going to be closing Star Radio Northeast down probably within the next couple of weeks. As you've said, you're hoping that Ofcom will let you move Northallerton and Thirsk onto the Minster licence. Is there any, you know, scope for people coming in, hearing this, and saying, "Well, I'll have your Richmond transmitter, or I'll have your Durham one"?
Obviously, if something could be done very, very quickly, I think we would look at that. I think clearly all those things would equally, they'd need regulatory approval, which isn't necessarily a problem, because Ofcom do tend to act quite quickly in these situations. So there's always that possibility. I suspect we will move more quickly than a couple of weeks. It's probably likely to be nearer a week than two. So were that a possibility, then I think somebody would need to get their skates on, to be frank.
And obviously there are people you employ based in Darlington, both staff and freelancers. What's the situation with them today?
Obviously, they've been made aware of the decision, and understandably, they're very disappointed, some pretty upset by it, and I can understand that. Not least because, you know, we've got a very good team of people who work very hard, and they're passionate about their radio station, as indeed most people in all radio stations are. So that's been a very difficult time. I suspect that some of them may have the opportunity to work elsewhere, and obviously we've got to have those conversations with them first. But sadly, I suspect there may well also have to be some redundancies.
And in terms of the Star brand, obviously you sold Star in Cambridge earlier this year. There was a Star down in Cheltenham or somewhere originally that was part of UKID. So it's a bit of an end of an era for the group that you've been involved with for the last 20, 30 years, that Star Radio isn't part of it anymore.
Yeah, I think that's right. Although, ironically, Star Radio was the one departure from our core strategy in terms of how we deliver local radio. And it was an attempt, going back many, many years, in fact, before I even got this job, to create something that was identifiable as a brand. And ironically, it's the departure from our core proposition, which is delivering local radio with a locally defined brand to a local community by local people managed locally. It's the one slight departure from that. I have to say, I probably won't be looking to move back into that direction again. The model we have, which works tremendously well in our portfolio generally, is a very specifically localized product. And I don't anticipate moving back towards a commonality of brand anytime soon.
And just finally, there aren't many other groups that have handed back licenses. I know you've done it before in a couple of instances, and obviously this year you've sold Star. The group is getting smaller in some respects, whereas other groups are looking to consolidate and get bigger. Does that tell us anything?
No, it tells us that we're UKID is a company that is very passionate about local radio, but we're very passionate about running successful local radio stations with commercial strength and viability. So it doesn't tell us anything other than that. We're investing very heavily in a lot of our local radio stations. And we're also, of course, now branching out into other areas. So having just launched the new national digital radio station for musical theatre, Encore Radio, that is starting to see some good audience traction on our numbers. We have My Music Radio, which is an all-digital home of the 70s, primarily, which we have Pat Sharp, Kit Jensen. So we're broadening our business and growing our business. It's just that sometimes when you focus on different areas and you look at where you're best focused on spending that resource, particularly as we grow the range of product that we're developing, and we will be developing more product and launching more product in the not too distant future, we have to make sure that we're focused on delivering the very best at all levels. And locally, every single one of our portfolio that remains is successful, profitable, good, strong audience in their local markets. We're going to continue to invest in that, but we're also going to add other pillars to what UKID is all about through delivering national opportunities on that new digital platform that's available to us. So, although it appears that we've got one or two local stations that have disappeared from our portfolio, we are in fact running more services than we have ever run. And we will be running considerably more services as we go through the next 12, 18 months. So this is an expansion of UKRD across a range of product. It's just that we have taken a couple of decisions of late to make sure that we're focusing all of our resources on those stations that we think we can maximize not just return for our investors, but also improve the quality of service we provide to our local listeners.
William Rogers there, the CEO of UKRD, talking to me mainly about the upcoming closure of Star Radio Northeast based in Darlington. And good luck to everyone affected by that decision. Hope you can find some work somewhere else. David Lloyd's Radio Moments are on the way. First, time for this week's news, and we need a guest newsreader. So let's try a Trevor Dan trick. Alexa, tell me the latest headlines from Radio Today.
Here are the top stories from radiotoday.co.uk over the last 7 days. As you've been hearing, Star Radio Northeast in Darlington is to close and hand back some of its licences to Ofcom. UKRD says it's struggled to make money for a number of years. Colin Murray has been announced as the host for this year's radio festival, taking place in London in May. The event's at the British Library again. This year the theme is Stand Out. It takes place on the 23rd of May. Congratulations to all the winners at the IRN News Awards this week. The country's best commercial radio news teams were named as Global's Newsroom Wales and Radio Air News. Reporter of the Year was Linda Sinclair from Clyde in Glasgow, while the Best News Special was won by Talk Radio. LBC Managing Editor James Rea was given the IRN Gold Award for his outstanding contribution to commercial radio news. The big winner at the Hospital Radio Awards this week was Radio Tyneside, which was named Station of the Year. It also won another 3 Gold Awards on the night. And Janice Long has a new show, just weeks after finishing her After Midnight slot on Radio 2. She's joining BBC Radio Wales to host an evening show through the summer from the studios in Wrexham. Janice is also doing some cover for Joe Wally on Radio 2, and will sit in on the Radio Merseyside Breakfast Show for 2 weeks in August. Those are this week's big stories from around the industry. At the Radio Today News Desk, I'm Alexa.
All right, thanks, Alexa. I was slightly worried that she did too good a job there as well, weren't you? We'll be replacing us newsreaders with robots before you know it.
Yes, I would love to read the news like you do on BBC Radio 5 Live.
I think you'll find it's pronounced 5 Live, Alexa.
I meant 5 Live. I knew that, really. I was only messing.
All right, yeah, whatever. Stay there. David Lloyd is coming next.
Visual radio smarter and cheaper. Virtual director from Broadcast Bionics combines your social media, messaging, photos, audio and videos with intelligent camera control and automated graphics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk. Radio
Moments. This year we celebrate so many 50th anniversaries in radio, with the Golden Jubilee of Radio 1 and of BBC Local Radio, and the anniversary of the famous anti-pirate legislation. But much of all that was prompted by something which began this week in 1964.
You're tuned to Radio Caroline on 199, your all-day music station.
This is Simon D talking to you on behalf of all of us on Radio Caroline, here 4.5 miles away from Felixstowe. Now, what can I tell you about the station? Well, our technical equipment, I suppose. Firstly, the transmitters are made by Continental Electronics in the States and are 10 kilowatts each, two of them, costing about £50,000 each. And they will shortly be looped together, I expect, to give us a stronger signal when all the boffins are finished working on them. The studio itself consists of various equipment, tape recorders, record players, of course, basically in a mixer. The record players are made by Gates, costing about £500 each, and the Ampex tape recorders, I don't know the cost of those, I think they're about £1,000 each. I've got about five of those.
Caroline's beginning was as a direct result of me managing an artist called Georgie Fame at the time, and both EMI and Decca turned him down, and the only alternative was to start a label, but in order to start a label you had to have a radio station to promote it, and then I kept getting back to a radio station, and that's how, that was the motivation for doing it.
Hello and happy Easter to all of you. This is Christopher Moore with the first record program on Radio Caroline. The first record is by the Rolling Stones, and I'd like to play it for all of the people who worked to put the station on the air, and particularly for Rona.
Chris Moore hosting the first Caroline programme in Easter 1964, and before that you heard the voice of its founder, Ronan O'Reilly. Broadcasting from a ship isn't easy, but nor is broadcasting from a train, and that's how the new Virgin Radio launched a year ago this week.
The waiting is over. A broadcast legend returns.
The future is desperate for us.
Nine. To shake up the world of music radio.
Eight.
With a brilliant mix of music and presenters.
Sooner the better.
Seven.
Playing the greatest Virgin classics. We're back.
Mind the gap. So here we are. It is the launch of the brand new Virgin Radio. Matt Richardson and I are bringing you an incredible selection of live music from our train, which is moving as we travel from Manchester to London in a radio first. Jamie East, Kate Lawler and Tim Cocker are back in London at our HQ.
Happy birthday to the UK's second Virgin Radio. The launch programme was broadcast from a Virgin Pendolino train. Its loan negotiated thanks to help from the very bearded top of Virgin. 3G and 4G was used through 12 aerials on top of the train. And they also had a full trial run through the night because the route for the train journey was atypical. So they had to rehearse it in full so they could see where the signal fell out, and then they arranged to play songs at those times. Beautifully organised. The original Virgin, of course, broadcast nationally on AM. It lasted 15 years before it became Absolute, which is 3 years longer than this brand survived.
This is a test transmission for the new regional radio station for Yorkshire.
On 106 to 108 FM.
It's Real Radio.
Yorkshire's best variety of music and talk.
Good morning, Yorkshire, and good morning, Real Radio. This is Paul McCartney here, and I'd like to welcome you to a brand new radio station. Welcome to Real Radio.
Good morning. It's Monday, 25th of March, 2002. It's 8 o'clock, and a star is born.
15 years ago this week, the launch of Real Radio in Yorkshire. It's now heart. You can usually tell somebody's age by asking who their favourite Doctor Who was, or who their favourite Blue Peter presenter was. And the same's true of chart presenters. If you're in your mid-50s, I suspect it may be this chap.
Four Baker Street, Jerry Rafferty, three Matchstalk Men and Matchstalk Cats and Dogs, Brian and Michael, and number two, Denny from Blondie. And now here's this week's...
Number one!
Tom Brown, who hosted his first Radio 1 chart this week 39 years ago.
Wuthering Heights from Kate Bush at number one for the third week in a row. And that's all from me, Tom Brown, and my producer, Bernie Andrews. I've much enjoyed doing this show, as I'm sure will Simon Bates, who takes over the top 20 from next Sunday onwards, so be sure to listen in. Have a lovely Easter, and don't forget that Radio 1 is back tomorrow at 8 o'clock with Ed Stewart and Junior Choice.
Five Live launched this week in 94, but that meant the closure of its predecessor, the original Radio 5, with sport, children's programme and education.
All that's left is this large Bakelite and copper antique switch.
Read the label, Earl.
Radio 5, on, off.
Shall we do it, Earl?
Oh, my hand, Nigel.
Be brave, Earl. Let's pull the switch together.
I love you, Nigel.
I love you, Earl.
One,
two...
Hang on a minute, Nigel.
Farewell Radio 5 after 3.5 years on air and an inspired ending, actually, this week, 23 years ago. 6 years ago, a new development for radio, Radio Player.
There were 157 stations in our V1 web radio player built for PCs and laptops. 6 years on, there are now 480 stations in the UK radio player. They're available not only in that web player, but in apps for iOS and Android and Kindle Fire, in Apple CarPlay and Android Auto for cars, in smartwatches, in Google Cast, in the Amazon Echo home speaker, and shortly in Sonos home speakers too. We've built and launched hybrid hardware for cars that's voice controlled, and radio players now spread to 8 countries around the world.
Mike Hill. Let's finish with this one, shall we? One of the best commentaries ever. 1949, and the legendary John Snagg is on boat race commentary duty for the BBC, but the BBC boat is a little slow, and John can't quite work out what's going on.
Both crews ripping up the stroke and coming into rail fighting finish. Now, both crews obviously had the most grueling race, one of the greatest races that had ever been, ever boat races ever had, and the perfect conditions too. Oxford in the lead, I think. I don't know, but I think. It's almost neck and neck. It's level, I should think. I'm not quite sure. It must be level. Cambridge bringing up the stroke. I think Cambridge are ahead. I don't know who's ahead. It's either Oxford or Cambridge. It's neck and neck the whole way over.
I wonder what the Daily Mail would make of that now. John Snagg on the boat race 68 years ago. So with Johnny Walker presenting his last Radio 2 drive time 11 years ago.
Johnny Walker.
Alan Dedicote, the voice of the balls, leaving Radio 2 2 years ago.
And having read it for 28 years, that's the BBC News.
Century Radio, renamed Real Radio, now Heart, 8 years ago. And BBC GLR changing its name to BBC London Live 27 years ago. It had been Radio London and now it's Radio London again. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. And do check out David's Conversations series as well. Some brilliant hour-long pieces of radio, hearing from people who've made a massive difference to our industry. Particularly enjoyed some of the latest ones with Tony Stoller and Pete Murray in the last few weeks. Thank you to my guests this week, William Rogers from UKRD, and to guest newsreader Alexa. I'm not sure she's getting invited back next week. Check out the new podcast from Radio Today. In addition to this one, it's out every Friday morning. It's a look at the big stories in the industry this week. It's called Radio Today News. You'll find it on its own Audio Boom channel. Look it up. There'll be another one out Friday morning, first thing. I've been Stuart Clarkson, looking after the show this week for Trevor, and I will return with something similar same time next week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.